Would you join me in standing all over this house? What a beautiful celebration, time and opportunity. Thank you, Josh, Dr. Devin, Sarah, all that have been involved, every instrumentalist, vocalist. I've been in this great church all my life. I've known a lot of talent, a lot of ability, a lot of anointing on lives. I'm thankful today, though, for the blood that all I have to do is say the name Jesus. And he can calm every fear and change every circumstance and save every lost soul. He's here today, and he loves you, and he cares. It's my privilege to introduce to you a local legend, local hero, Toby and Diane Morgan. You know them well. I learned so much under them in such a short time, many, many years ago. Something that has never left me, I learned how to learn and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit under my parents and under Toby and Diane Morgan more than anywhere or from anyone else in my life. And I found out that at such and such age today, I'm still learning how to learn. And as long as I'm willing to learn, I can embrace what God has to say for today, for this moment, and this hour. Toby, thank you for that. Come and bless us.
Thank you, Pastor. It's such a delight and an honor. For me to be able to be here and to share with you, to worship the Lord with you. It's a warm embrace. It feels so good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. And I've been nursing a little sickness this week, and so that's why I'm kind of over there, and I wasn't around last night because I didn't want to spread the joy. And, that's what's going on. And Diane's with her brother Sam this morning in the hospital. So thank you for letting me be a part of this great day and what God is doing. Diane and I try to represent you as best we can. Now, she always does with grace and dignity and elan and character. Sometimes I'm not that good. But you've gone with us, you know, around the country, even around the world, and I've shared about you, and what an honor to be with you again today. Thanks to this committee that's worked so hard to put this together, and thanks, Pastor, Sergeant. Your legacy and impact here is it is so deep and so wide. You made such an indelible imprint. Well, so many people, thank you. I think back to Pastor Hawkins Smith. I know his family's here, some of you today, and what a mark he left on me. Pastor McDuffie, what a great mark he left on me. I was hoping Steve would be here, and I know he's not if he's watching. He was always my hero. I always wanted to be Steve Brock when I grew up. Yeah, and then I grew up and realized I could never even touch the bright star he's been. And all of you, just thank you so much for the privilege to be here today and to share the word of the Lord with you. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read this scripture. I'm not going to preach long. Most of you know that means nothing, but I'm not going to preach long. Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about cloud dwellers. Who's in your cloud? Holy Spirit, help me these next couple of moments. Just let your grace be upon us, and we're going to give you praise and glory for it. We're going to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. To be brutally honest with you today, I feel like one of our general officials years ago, he was at a meeting kind of like this, and he was preaching, and they were praying with him before he was to go out and preach. I'll tell you privately who it was in a moment if you want to know. But this lady was in there praying, and she was really getting vociferous in her prayers, and she was saying, "Please, Jesus, help him. Please help him. You know there were people more qualified than him." Yeah, I feel that way today. In 1923, you could buy a Chevy Roadster for $570. You could buy a pound of bacon for 15 cents. Oranges were 50 cents a dozen. Shampoo was 50 cents a bottle. You could buy a six-room house for $4,000. Yeah, how about this one? Coffee was 27 cents a pound. You'll love this one, ladies. Eggs were 25 cents a dozen. Butter was 32 cents a pound. And had we lived in those days growing up in this church, just think of what we could have done. Toilet paper, 30 rolls for a dollar. There would have been homes that never saw the sunlight again. You know how that goes. A lot of things have changed in 100 years. A lot of things have changed, but one thing is for sure, and it's stable, and it is forever. Jesus, the Son of God, has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he's praying for us today. Amen. Paul, he makes an amazing statement here, if indeed Paul wrote this. He says, "You and I are surrounded by witnesses. We have a cloud around us that is populated by those gone before who are examples for us." Now, some people liken this to a balcony in heaven where people peer off and they're looking at us today and they're watching what we do, and they say those people are watching us and they're shouting for us to advance like runners on a track. Now, personally, I don't think that's the message at all, and here's my main reason. I think the people in heaven are so mesmerized with the leading character there, they pay us no attention whatsoever. I mean, how can anyone possibly be interested in me when this one is standing there? His eyes are like flames of fire. His head has many crowns. His name written on him that no one knows except himself. His robe is dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in the heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that with it he would strike the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. I'm telling you, they're not watching me. They're not concerned about what I have on or what you're going to have for lunch. They are so caught up in the glory, hallelujah, and the splendor and the majesty and the awe of the one who inhabits all in all. Through him and for him and by him all things have been made and were made and will be made. No, they're not watching us, but they are witnesses to us about the faithfulness of God. Abraham is caught up in worship, but he stands as a stark witness about following God by faith, that we have come this far by faith. Sarah stands there chuckling beneath her breath at the glory of God, worshiping the one who gave her a son in her old age, but she's a witness to you and to me today that it's never too late for him to show up in your life, that there never comes a time when the door is closed to the glory and the work of God. Joseph stands there, the greatest representation of Jesus in the Old Testament, and he says, "I can tell you that through prison and through trial and through turmoil and through upsets and through disappointments, God is faithful." But he's caught up in worshiping the one, but he's a witness. Moses stands and worship, but he witnesses to you. that God can take your worst and use it for His glory when you decide you're going to submit it to Him. There's a man by the name of Joshua who is in my cloud today. And Joshua's not watching me. Joshua is still bowing before the captain of the Lord's host, but he stands as a witness today to tell me that there is no enemy so strong that our God cannot bring him down. And there is no fortress so impregnable that your God cannot take you inside and give you the glory that is held there for you. I'm telling you, these and other cloud dwellers are shouting to you and me today through their examples, God is faithful. God will see you through. God will walk with you in the dark days. God will be with you on the mountains, but He'll walk with you in the valleys. And if you put your faith and your trust in Him, He will see you through and bring about His glory in your life. Someone ought to praise Him today. Somebody ought to bless Him today and let Him know that He is worthy of praise and He is worthy of glory and He is worthy of honor. See, it matters who dwells in your cloud. It really does. The example you follow that has been set before you, it plays an amazing role in your life. You might have heard this, but it bears repeating today. In 1900, a man named A.E. Winship, he published a book called Duke Edwards, A Study in Education and Heredity. What he had done, he had commissioned a man by the name of Richard Dugdale to dig through prison records and to study this guy named Max Jukes, and also to dig through records and study Jonathan Edwards. Both men had been dead for about 150 years. What he found out about the cloud dwellers of those testimony givers, of those life shapers of these two men, was astounding. For you see, when you study the life of Jukes, a prisoner, more than 140 of his progeny were professional beggars. One in four died in infancy. 50 of the women lived in utter debauchery. 400 men and women had their health wrecked early in life due to drug addiction and abuse. 7 of them turned out to be murderers. 60 were habitual thieves, spending an average of 12 years each in prison. 130 more were convicted of lesser crimes and given sentences. On the other hand, Jonathan Edwards, the great man of God, one of his offspring, a guy named Aaron Burr, became vice president of the United States. 3 of his progeny became United States senators. He had 3 governors in his line, 3 mayors, 15 college presidents, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 attorneys, and over 100 missionaries, pastors, and theologians. You see, it matters who dwells in your cloud. It matters who is the example you're following. It matters who influences your life. And you may be saying to me today, well, I don't have anybody in my life like Jonathan Edwards. I don't have, matter of fact, I've got a lot more Max Jukes than I do Jonathan Edwards. I've come to declare to you today that you are surrounded by such a great and powerful cloud of witnesses and influencers that there is no weapon formed against you that will ever prosper, because your God will bring about His glory and His work and His passion in your life. Amen. And I got to thinking about it coming home. Who are my cloud dwellers today? Been a lot of people that filled my cloud through the decades. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of them and about what they were willing to do. You see, my cloud dwellers around here were willing to sow into our lives. They took their cues from the scripture about Moses and Joshua, or about Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos, or about Jesus and the disciples, or about Paul and his churches. They took the words of Paul to Timothy very literally. Listen to Titus 2 in the New Living Translation. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God, They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and the seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Those cloud dwellers in my life, they taught us the word of the Lord. Even in the old building over there, we used to call it the dungeon. Some of you remember the dungeon. You know, they had straps and they nailed us to the wall and they didn't. They were just downstairs kind of a thing. But they gathered and they instructed us in the ways of the Lord. They stood there and they wept over us and they taught us and they helped us sing and they did their best to instill in us a strong foundation of the Word of God. My cloud dwellers worked on buildings. They built things, they painted things, they fixed things, they cut grass, they trimmed bushes, they cleaned floors, they scrubbed toilets. My cloud dwellers reached out to others. They worked on bus routes and they brought children to church and they taught in nursing homes and they carried food to hungry people. My cloud dwellers led. They made sure the business of the church, the bills were paid, the buildings were built and pastors were cared for. My cloud dwellers prayed. They would pray all the time. They would get together before church and pray, and you knew you're going to have an amazing service if the doors burst open and the cloud dweller prayers came in and they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. I've said it 100 times in places around the world. When I grew up in the Summerton Church of God, you received the baptism in the Holy Ghost out of self-defense. Oh, yeah. Right over there in that other building, I did. Hold on, let go, give up, press on. Here, there, go there. I mean, you know, it's talking tongues or else kind of things. They prayed that way. When I was growing up, cloud dwellers prayed this way. Men prayed on this side and women prayed on that side. Or vice versa. I'm sorry, men prayed on this side and women prayed on that side. We wondered about you if you were in here. And I used to wonder why, and I figured it out. Because women were serious about prayer. They would stay there and pray. Men would pray 3 minutes and go talk about a ball game. So the ladies finally said, y'all get over there and leave us alone. Yeah, they taught us. They showed us. They showed us how to worship. They showed us how to glorify God. My cloud dwellers knew how to rejoice in the Lord with all their might. Without the mixture of gifts and the meshing of those gifts, there would be no church. My cloud is filled with men and women who did what they did simply for the glory and the kingdom of God. And because of them, we're here today. No one person can claim credit. No one small group can claim credit. As a matter of fact, it was a bunch of pieces that came together and fit, and God just somehow brought it together, and he made something wonderful and something beautiful out of it. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's what God does in this world. Did you know that a 737 airplane has over 900,000 individual parts? Over 900,000 bolts, screws, parts of engines, parts of seats, and not one of those things is designed to fly. Not one. Not a thing in a plane is designed to fly. But when you put all those things together and each part's doing what it is designed to do and it is energized by the fire of the fuel, that plane that is not designed to fly will take you around this globe in comfort and in speed. I'm telling you, God will bring together all those cloud dwellers, all those things. He brought them together and he made something wonderful out of them. And today we are here because God orchestrated it and brought them together. Amen. Yeah. My cloud dwellers, you know what they did? They worked to show me how to overcome. Yeah. They marked a trail for me. And they showed me how to overcome in the most trying of circumstances. They lived out what Paul said in Acts 14:22, where he said, "You strengthen the soul of the disciples and exhort them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." You know why they did that? You know why Paul said that? Because in the previous verse, Paul got stoned by some irate Jews. And it upset the church so much that a man like Paul, a man of such great faith and power, could have that happen to him. Now that flies in the face of our Americanized gospel. We taught people, if you can get enough faith, if you know of scripture, do enough good stuff for Jesus, nothing bad's going to happen to you in your life. That sounds good, but it's just not biblical. Paul said, let me show you the way to overcome. Let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to be tough and still serve the Lord. Let me show you how to walk through hard times and show you how to serve the Lord. I've seen that in my cloud dwellers. I've watched as a youngster, and I look back now and I think I heard women who had nothing, who were going to catch it when they got home from a drunk husband because they went to church, stand and beam as they told their story about how good the Lord has been to them. I watched men live with struggles who worked like dogs for next to nothing as they overcame sicknesses and debilitating things and hard things, shout praises and be filled with the glory and the Spirit of God. They showed us how to overcome. Hallelujah. I want to point you to one scripture here and show you one little thing about this. Revelation 7 says, "After this I saw a vast crowd. It was too large to count. From every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, they were clothed in white robes, and they held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they all fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and they worshiped God. And they sang, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the 24 elders asked me, 'Who are these clothed in white? Where did they come from?' And I said to them, 'Sir, you're the one who knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are the ones who died in the tribulation. They washed their robes in the blood and they made them white. This is why they stand in front of God's throne and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd and he will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes.'" You know the one thing I want to point out to you right there? Palm branches. Those who were there were given palm branches. People who overcame were given palm branches. The angels were not given palm branches, but those who overcame were given palm branches. This goes back to the celebration of harvest, what is in the Old Testament called the Feast of Tabernacles. During that feast time, they would build booths, tents, and that would resemble and remind them of their journey, and they would celebrate the harvest. In those days, they would carry fruit in their left hand, the harvest, and they would carry a palm branch in their right hand, and they would march through the streets and rejoice for the harvest. You see, the palm branch to them was a reminder that you had to go through planting and tending and working to get to the harvest. In other words, the palm branch reminded them you had to go through the work to get to the grain. You had to go through this to get that. You had to endure all that to be able to have this in your life. Do you know why we get palm branches and angels do not get palm branches? Angels have never had to overcome a debilitating sickness or injury and keep on serving Jesus. But my cloud dwellers, they showed me how to do that. Angels never spent a night in agonizing prayer over a lost son or a wayward daughter. But my cloud dwellers, they've shown me how that can work. Angels never endured great financial loss, but found a way to still show up and sow into the lives lives of others. My cloud dwellers, they showed me how to do that. Angels never suffered the embarrassment of falling on their faces, but getting up and pressing on in the grace of God. I have some cloud dwellers who've shown me how to overcome that. They never had to endure, but my cloud dwellers did, and they showed me how to cling to the altar and pour out my heart to God and press on. They showed me how to get my palm branch that day. And I'm telling you, Pastor, there's coming a day I'm going to get a new robe, but I'm going to get a palm branch, and it's going to remind me of every time I prayed, every time I've fallen, every time I've suffered, every time I've gone through, and I'm going to look around at some people that are already there and say, you showed me how, and I watched you do it, and you taught me this. Oh, and you showed me how I can make it through. Praise be God. My cloud is filled today. Our cloud dwellers were willing to sow. Yeah, and they worked to show. But you know what? My cloud dwellers are waiting to see. They're waiting to see us. Listen to Paul. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Your cloud dwellers are not lost to you. They're simply family who've already made the journey, and they are waiting to see us there. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. A massive part of our cloud dwellers, they were immersed in music. If you looked at this, at the pictures and the things that are out, you'll see, man, they had a band here long way back when, you know. I look at some of those old photos and I see people, and there are some band members up here that are just, you know, they kind of got spit out from them sometime back. This cloud dwellers, that they were musical. And this church has been filled with music. My cloud is filled with music committee members. Now, for those of you that aren't old enough to remember this, back before we got really, really progressive, and Dr. Stevenson and others pushed us through, we had the music committee. And I'm almost done. It's okay. We knew within about three songs what we were going to sing based on who was walking up to lead it. And I've had the privilege of doing some of the funerals of some of those wonderful people, and I used their songs for their funeral. We understood that, but my cloud is filled with so many of those songs. I'm so glad you're here today, Raymond Muncher, because we always knew it's a pretty good chance Raymond got up to sing, we were going to sing about the meeting in the air. Yeah. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Come on. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting. Yeah, come on, let's stand and sing it a while. Oh, there is going to be in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, and God's own son, he'll be the leading one. Come on, sing it one more time. We're singing this for you, Raymond. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that beyond the. Oh, they're waiting to see us. Yeah, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Why don't you give Him praise and glory? Come on and praise Him a little bit. Worship the Lord. We're headed to see them there. Let's just do one more. We used to sing this one, and come on, everybody, you know what it is? I'll meet you.
I will meet you.
Worship you, Jesus.
Meet you in the morning. Meet you in the morning. The Eastern Gate over there.
Are you planning on going? Come on, sing it to the Lord.
In the morning, I will meet you.
Thank you, Jesus, that our cloud is filled with those who sowed into our lives. Our cloud is filled with those, oh Lord, who showed us how to make it. Our cloud is filled with those who wait to see us there. I thank you for this wonderful church, for Pastor Harv and what he's doing in the future. We thank you. And Lord, I want to ask one question to this great audience. In whose cloud will they dwell? In whose cloud will you dwell? I pray for the anointing, Lord, and for the glory of God, for the precious comfort of the Holy Spirit to be with your people today. Touch us, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Would you give the Lord thanks and praise for His word today? Amen.